the lack of workforce gives also more negotiation power to people coming back from parental leave, because there's a huge lack of skilled labor. So companies need to think about how to offer more flexible working schedules for parents that are coming back.
Welcome to Get Inspired, your podcast to feel connected, empowered, and inspired by real-world role models and their stories of managing parenthood with successful careers. Leah Heap is Managing Director at Startup Teens and Gen Talents, who work with businesses to create more harmonious working environments that work for every generation. That also means that those businesses are able to retain and attract more talent at a time when everyone needs people. I'll hand you over now to our host, Ricarda Engelmeier, to explain what Leah does in more detail.
And to welcome you, Leah, here to my collective. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
It's so good to have you. And we have a full house today listening in, and I'm really excited to talk a little bit about work that works for all, and about entrepreneurship and parenthood in the combination. Because Leah, maybe a short introduction to you. You're since beginning of this year, the managing director of Startup Teens, but also managing director of Gen Talents. And I would like to talk about both of these topics with you. And they're both really relevant to this group here. But in your previous job, you've been in the industry, mainly at Otto, and a lot of different positions, but also in the innovation management, sort of heading the innovation management at Otto. And I think this very much brings us to the topic here, because what you do at Startup Teens is paving the way for the next generation in terms of innovation, in terms of entrepreneurship. And maybe can we start with that? Because I mean, most of you probably know Startup Teens, but I would like, can you tell us a little bit of what you do there? And maybe also, since you've just joined, what is your mission on how you and why you joined?
So first, thank you, Ricarda, for the invitation. I'm super happy to see all of you today. Let's talk a bit about Startup Teens and Gen Talents. Startup Teens, we all always call it the network of the innovators of tomorrow, for tomorrow, because we are strongly focusing on young people aged between 15 to 20, so going to school, and interested in the field of entrepreneurship. Because we see that Germany is lacking behind in this field of entrepreneurship, of founding own companies. And this is why in 2015, people like Verena Pauster, Marie-Christine Ostermann founded this network, which is super strong, grown super strong over the years, with entrepreneurs, managers, and people engaging in helping the youngsters being stronger in entrepreneurship. And coming with this, we also wanted to help companies to be future ready and tackling the field of cross-generational work, because I can imagine that you see the same challenges in your companies, that different generations expect different kinds of work environments. And we are helping consulting companies with Gen Talents in this field, new work, new leadership, cross-generational work. So this is where I came to. And my mission is to help as many companies to be future ready and create an environment that works for everybody.
So everybody in this case means all generations. What is the main difference? Is it skills? Is it attitude to work? What are the main challenges of why this even is a topic?
Mm-hmm. So why is this a topic? I came across a quite shocking figure the other day that in 2035, there is a lack of 7 million people in the German economy because of the demographic change. So companies really, really need to rethink their way of how to get the best talent and get people to work for their companies, and then hence retaining them within the company. So this is why there's a pain point. This is why companies actually need to get into action and need to tackle this problem. And what comes with this demographic change is that the negotiation power shifted. So being a young person today is, I think that like 1.5 jobs come to one person. So you have a huge negotiation power on what the environment is going to be like, how you are willing to work and how you're willing to enter a company. Another important thing is that there is not that stereotype of a young person that works for everybody, but the probability of certain characteristics that come are higher within a certain age group. So, for example, a higher demand for flexibility in work with younger people than with older people. They don't want to work less, as we see in studies, but they want to work differently. For example, more flexible working hours, more flexible working spaces. And then in the end, what I find most successful is to bring the people together at one table and discuss what is your expectation, what is important to you, how do you want to work, and not only the young people, but people from all the generations, and then match it with what is actually possible. So if you're working in a supermarket, might be difficult to do home office, but there are so many other things that can be done in order to, to make it a more valuable, a better working environment for people. Because what we also see is that people who work in an environment that they feel good at, that they feel valued at, they also are going to show better performance. So in the end, it's also a question of economics to build an environment that your people are going to thrive in and are going to like working in.
I like that you put it as a question of economics, because for most of us here in this call, and I guess everybody listening, is we are all sort of fighting for a diverse sort of new work type of environment. And for everyone who wants to have a more diverse leadership, the lack of skilled labor is the business case that kind of that pushes the entire agenda, right? And so you're saying lack of skilled labor leads to the fact that you need to be more active and need to integrate younger and older. What does that exactly mean for parental leavers? Because what we've previously seen is that especially mothers, but also increasingly fathers who take parental leave, not necessarily fall out of the labor force, but fall out from their career track and ultimately are also missing, are a part of that kind of lack of skilled labor and a part of that lack of talent pool that companies need to then ultimately also have more women in the leadership. What does that mean? So how could flexible work models, or what do companies need to do in terms of cross-generational work to then also make it easier and more flexible for example, parental leavers?
Now, I think that needs to be regarded at in different dimensions. So first of all, it's a super good situation because the lack of workforce gives also more negotiation power to people coming back from parental leave, because there's a huge, huge lack of skilled labor. So companies also need to think about how to like reintegrate, how to offer programs, how to offer more flexible working schedules for parents that are coming back. So your negotiation power is actually quite high. That's a good sign. Yeah. And what I always talk about with companies is that I also find it super important to make or to support role models in there. So to make people coming back from parental leave, to give them some kind of a presence, to give them some kind of outreach, might be internal, but also external, to show not only to your internal employees, it's possible to have a great career, to have a great working schedule that fits your personal needs. And we offer that in order to also attract and gain internal talent, but also to find a way how to make this externally visible, to attract more talents on the external market. So actually, for people coming back from parental leave, it's a quite good situation, I feel.
So it's no longer talent retention; it actually is talent attraction by showing that it's possible with some sort of, let's say, house internal role models, right?
Yeah, I mean, of course it's possible. It's but it requires some flexibility from also the company side, right? So I feel that it's super important to have some role models that actually stick to their rules then also. So for example, if you have somebody in the management board working 80%, they really not need to be called on the day off. So you need to live up to these standards you set and up to the rules in order to make it okay for everybody else to do it the same way. But you need to have these role models in order to make sure that it's possible within your company. And this is, from my point of view, totally essential nowadays to attract and also to retain talent. Because, I mean, also from the company's perspective, recruiting new people is super expensive and it's a huge effort. So yeah, it's more and more important to use, to leverage that the potential that you already have within your company. And a big chunk of this is within parents and people coming back from paternal leave.
Yeah, so on the company side, it's clear. I mean, Personio says it's 120% of an annual salary that's the cost of losing a talent, right? Yeah. But on the employee side, or let's be more specific, if you are a parental leaver, and if you're thinking of, let's say, coming back to a more flexible work model, you want to push for it. What you in the talk that we had before, you said that there's also a bit of brand building that you need to do yourself. So it's not all on the company's to-do list, so to say. So there's also some things that you as an individual can do to actually make that flexible work model a reality for yourself, but also become a influencer, or we at My Collective, we even call them corporate influencers, or you could also say change makers for diversity, to make it less sort of drastic. But what can you do yourself? I mean, what is that brand building that you need to do? And what are some tips and tricks that you can share with us?
Mm-hmm. Again, on different levels, I think first of all, it's super important to set your own priorities in order to be able to negotiate your way back into the company. So how much do I want to work? What do I exactly need as working hours? So like, this is the basic homework that you need to do. Another like topic aside from this, but totally connected, is your personal brand. So the stronger your personal brand is, the easier it is for you to negotiate your way back in. And this is nothing that is only important during your parental leave, but like in your whole career, it helps, of course. So which are the topics I do want to stand for? Which are the topics I'm an expert in, or I do want to become an expert in? And which are the topics I want to position myself internally so people know whom to talk to? So what is it that people should talk about when I'm not in the room about me? This is basically it. And it doesn't need to be super abstract. It's actually quite simple to find out where to start. So, for example, ask yourself, what are the topics that people are always coming to me and ask me about? What do I actually like talking about? And then you identify like 2 to 3 different topics and you start digging in deeper. So this could be, for example, hearing podcasts, listening to podcasts about it. Or do whatever makes you more of an expert in it, and then also talk about it. So not everybody needs to be a LinkedIn influencer, but this could also be network, find other people, experts, being experts in these topics, and yeah, make yourself an expert and make sure that people know which topics you are interested in and you want to talk about, and hence can position yourself for your way back into the company.
And this doesn't necessarily need to be topics within your actual area of expertise in the business line, right?
Of course, this helps, right? And in a perfect world, you're actually working with topics that you're interested in, but it doesn't need to be 100% overlap with what you're doing right now. Of course, feel free to go for whatever you like.
Because what we've seen, I mean, also happening here in the network, is that a lot of people who are in, let's say, in the engineering field or in a supply chain. But because of being a parent and because wanting to come back with flexible working models, they out of a sudden don't have to only fight and negotiate for their own position, but once you have that, you kind of have that diversity hat on as well. So you're still in your, let's say, a supply chain specialist, but you kind of become a sort of an ambassador for a different topic as well, for, let's say, new work or diversity as such. And that kind of, that is all, could potentially also become something that people talk about when you leave the room, right? It's sort of, that's the person who is our role model in this respect. How does that, if you are positioning yourself there, what are the kind of skills that you kind of, that you would put in ahead? So what is it that you would focus on in terms of skills? Because we here at my collective, we quite often say there are a lot of parenting skills that you learn that are actually leadership skills, and they can be used in various sort of situations. But what do you see as something that that works really well in this kind of new work field?
Mm-hmm. I think, first of all, as I said, you need to decide which topics you want to go for. This can be like work related. This can be diversity related. You are free to choose which topics you want to be linked with. And this also then is decisive for which skills you need to build up to. I feel that there are some skills. I mean, we're seeing the world's changing so fast, and in 5 years there are going to be so many jobs that we don't even know about today, that there are some skills not job related that really help being built up. We call them the future skills. For example, besides digital knowledge of digital tools, is something like changeability, so transformational skills, and also social skills like empathy, resilience. And I think the later ones, like empathy, resilience, is something that you really also learn being a parent and interacting with kids and within the private life. But I would also use the time to keep up with tech trends and keep up with what happens there. And also, don't build huge obstacles in going into these topics. You don't need to be the number one AI expert, but just start with using all these tools that are there out in the market in order to, yeah, keep up with what's going on in the professional world.
And do you feel that if I mean, what we are convinced of is that these soft skills are actually, as you said yourself, and you're a mother yourself, so you know it, these kind of, let's say, if babies can actually really teach you empathy skills, right? Or at least what we say, if a screaming baby can teach you active listening skills, and with these active listening skills, you can ultimately become a more empathetic leader. If that's the case, do you feel like the time is ready to actually also verbalize these kind of parenting skills as future skills? Do you feel like this is something that is already accepted as a future skill set?
Probably there are many different ways in how to be better in empathy. And also we see that like some people are quite empathetic from the beginning and others need to work a bit more on this. Yeah, but why not? I mean, it always depends a bit on the context. If you are a leader, for example, and you're talking to your team, you're trying to coach somebody and how to be more empathetic, you can also talk about yourself, how you worked on it. I mean, what is the effect? You probably wouldn't suggest to somebody have a baby to learn how to be more empathetic. But in order to explain how people work, how people can develop, sure, why not talk about it? I mean, it's not something you should actively not talk about.
Yeah. And can I, now that you've just come back from parental leave yourself, I mean, a while back, but it's still a fresh one. Can you maybe share one of the parenting skills that you yourself gained during that time? And maybe have converted into a leadership skill yourself, or life and leadership skill?
I feel one thing that you constantly have to do while having kids is prioritize. So on different levels. First of all, I don't know how it is for you, but for many people, it's like this, that priorities change once you have kids. And this is on the meta level, but on a super concrete level, it's everyday's business, right? So you have a schedule for the day and then the kindergarten calls and you have to reschedule everything within minutes. So I feel like prioritization is something that that's super essential in parenting and that also is super essential in a job. And what you can also take from this is becoming better in delegating tasks. Because if you have less time in doing your work, you will have to either cut what you're going to be able to do or you find other people who are helping you or supporting you. So this is what I feel is super important and super good to learn with parenting.
Prioritization and delegation. Leah, thank you so much. I do hope that you stay a little bit more longer with us for some internal discussions. And I would like to stop the recording now and thank you. Thanks so much, Leah.
Thank you, Ricarda.